Good morning. It's 9 o'clock. It's the first Friday of the month, and you know what that means. That means I finally get to talk to Sandra the Plant Lady. Good morning, Sandra.
We weren't making the connection last month, but I'm back, and the topic I had for last month I think will still be on track. I just had a change a few things, but not much. So
it's not affected much by below zero temperatures?
Well, actually, I needed it to be below zero temperatures. That was kind of part of the idea. But first, let's just touch base on a few things now that we did miss a month. So since we were last on the air in December, we experienced the solstice, which we talked about on that show. Yep. And then now since then, we've had the Lunar New Year and Imbolc already. So we are actually now halfway between the solstice and the spring equinox.
Okay. What was that last one you mentioned?
Hmm?
What was that last one you mentioned?
So Imbolc or Candlemas, St. Bridget's Day.
Okay.
It's usually celebrated kind of like between February 1st, February 2nd. And it's that point in time where there's that midpoint between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. So we go from, you know, when we get to the equinox, we're at that 12-hour day length, which continues to peak until summer solstice, and then the cycle starts to go the other way.
Say, I got to ask you, do you have a big calendar on the wall where you keep track of all that stuff?
I do, yep. I do have all those things written down. I'm also involved with a few groups online that actually celebrate those events. My family celebrates those events. They're really connected to nature. You know, it's the time to start seeding things, you know, not just physically with seeds, but planting seeds for your own, you know, intentions and things that you I do, but yep. So I do keep a calendar. Otherwise,
who can remember all that?
Got to keep track of everything. But you know, it's with those cycles. I mean, it's obvious when it's the shortest day of the year and it's that dark out. And it's obvious when we get to that peak and we have those really long days. And I'm starting to notice now, you know, the days are getting longer. Even though here in this far north as we are, we're still getting that cold. Cold weather, but the days are getting longer. You
little
know, that
by
sun
little.
In the morning, when you're noticing it more, and you know, I can really tell when when I'm driving Anthony to school, that, you know, and where the sun is coming up and going down, you know, it's starting to creep further and further to the north. So it's nice.
It is nice. It's great that it's that time of the year again. And now I understand we're even going to start warming up a little next week.
Well, it's what a roller coaster it's been as far as up and down with the warm and cool days.
Yeah.
But these cold days are perfect for snuggling up with books.
True.
And over the course of the show, ever since, you know, June of 2018 here, I have referenced and, you know, resource and use a lot of books and love to read from the book. So today is just going to be the book report, and we're going to just talk about books. I'm going to read some excerpts from some of the books. There's a mix of practical knowledge. There's some novels and things, too. So, and then speaking of books, I haven't heard any more recent updates. I saw pictures when they were moving into the library, but have you heard any more? Has the mayor been on or anyone talked about where the Amory Library is at right now?
Actually, the Amory Librarian or Library Director has been on a couple of times, and I think it's all completely moved into the new location. And I don't know if you know, but the new location is actually on two levels.
Oh, good.
Because the library is so big and there's so many things. They moved, she told us, something in excess of 40,000 items in that time, and they're still at it.
I was going to say, that doesn't even seem like nearly enough with all the books. But at any rate, if the Amory Library isn't open yet, you know, there, we've got lots of great libraries in our area that reach out to. I mean, Balsam Lake has a library, Turtle Lake has a library, St. Croix Falls, Dresser. I mean, there's lots of libraries to reach out to, and you can still do, you know, and the great thing is you can drop the books off anywhere, you know, and you can get books sent from different libraries. So it's really a great time to just snuggle in and read when it's still cool out. So the my one favorite one, of course, that I read from very often is The Gardener's Year, and that's by Karel Capek. It's K-A-R-E-L-C-A-P-E-K. And it's actually published by the University of Wisconsin Press, I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I always just like to read out of this one because I think it's so funny. So I'll just read a little bit of this one, and then we'll move on to the next. So in February, the gardener carries on with the jobs of January, especially in cultivating the weather. For you ought to know that February is a dangerous time, which threatens the gardener with black frost, sun, damp, drought, and winds. This shortest month, this addle egg among the months, this aborted leap and altogether unreliable month excels them all with its wily tricks. Therefore, beware of it. During the day, it wheedles the buds out of the bushes, and at night it blisters them. With one hand, it cajoles you, and with the other, it makes you feel a fool. God only knows why in leap years one day is added, just to that wayward, catharal, sly, and stunted month. In leap years, one day should be added to the beautiful month of May, so that there would be 32, and all would be well. What have we gardeners done to deserve that? Then another occupation in February is hunting for the first sign of spring. The gardener does not place any confidence in the first cockchafer or butterfly, which usually announces the spring in the papers. In the first place, he does not care for cockchafers, and secondly, the first butterfly is usually the last one of the previous year, which is forgotten to die. The first signs of spring for which the gardener is looking are less deceitful. And then there's a list, and then each one has a little paragraph with it, but I'll just list the plants and won't look there. But, you know, crocuses, garden catalogs, snowdrops, neighbors, which is funny. Neighbors are also no uncertain sign of spring. As soon as they bustle out into their gardens with spades and hoes, shears and baths, tree washes and powders for the soil, an experienced gardener knows that spring is at hand. Which, of course, here we don't quite get to that yet in February. But
no.
I just love this little book. It was given to me as a gift one year at Christmas, and it's just been a treasure. It's just so funny. I just think it's funny.
Is that a big book?
Nope, just small. Just a little paperback. I mean, it just goes through the 12 months.
Ah,
and then in between each, there's a little one, like a section on seeds, which I know I've read on air, a section on market gardeners, a botanical chapter.
Gotcha.
So just... in between, you know, one on the soil. So in between each month is then that little excerpt in between, and then it goes to the next month. So, yeah, no, it's only, I don't know, 160 pages.
Oh, but so, it's an easy read then.
Yeah, and it's just so entertaining.
Yeah.
Another book I have, which is it's a little bit older, and it's called Harvest of Hope, and this one is by, let me get inside, Faith Baldwin. And this is another one that she just goes through the months. And her book, she actually starts in December and goes through and then kind of ends in December again, actually. So
she likes to get Christmas twice.
Yeah, right. And I'm just going to read her. And she does each month, she'll do like a, she'll do the month, and then at the end she'll do just a really nice kind of, I don't want to call it a blurb, but... so she'll have the month, and then at the end of each month, she'll do, like this one, it's like I, February, or I, March. Or, and I don't know if that's supposed to be a Roman numeral 1 or an I, but so maybe it's 1st February, you know.
Sure.
So I'm going to read that section, which comes at the end of the chapter of February. So February brings us the palest blue sky after storm, and on clear evenings, the scarlet sunsets are punctuated with gold and occasionally streaked with an extraordinary lambent green seen only in winter. I don't think I'd ever realized that before until I read a book called Precious Bane. Valentines come to us in February, a harvest of sown love and friendship, and we need not keep them until they grow dusty and dog-eared to remember the glow they brought. The month also gives us the companionship in thought of great men whose contributions to the country in which we live was incalculable, and those words are legacies. Now, too, we harvest January in sheaves of ermine and handfuls of diamonds, and when the sun shines, the tree shadows form precise and lovely patterns. Red suns setting, red paper hearts, red fires on the hearthstone, and hanging from the eaves, icicles like little crystal swords or the cut crystal pendants of a chandelier. By all these tokens, we remember February. Watching as I write the heaven blue horizon and the snow enhancing tree and bush, I think that February, this 15th day of it, has left me in memory a watercolor painting lovelier than any I've ever seen. I'll hang it on the walls of my heart's house and look at it now and again. So thank you, February.
Hmm.
She had a little bit different spin than the other book, now did it?
Just a little, yeah.
But it's just such beautiful writing, and I just, and books like this, it's like you don't have to read the whole thing, you just go through and read them from time to time or when it's the appropriate month.
How long does it take to read a month? Does it take 10 minutes or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, let me look at the table of contents and then see, but, well, let's do it this way. The whole book is only, you know, not even 150.
I gotcha.
Pages. So, I mean, you divide that by the 12 months or 13, yeah. Since she did December twice. I mean, it's not that many, so
yeah.
It's kind of fun.
You could do, you could just read 1 month a day.
Right. It's fun to read it during the month, though, that you're
oh,
in.
Oh, sure.
So, and then some of my other books that I really like, and I was thinking this may be of interest. I know you have folks from Atterray
mm-hmm.
on a regular basis. So at one point in time, I was looking into going into, like, specializing in horticultural therapy.
Oh.
And I had met up, this was after I graduated, but I had met up with one of my professors, and he had given me some books, and then I've picked up some since then. But the one that I love the most that I would recommend to people just for your own use at home is called The Enabling Garden.
Oh.
And it's Creating Barrier-Free Gardens. It's by Gene Rothert, and he is a horticultural therapist, and he is also a gentleman who's in a wheelchair.
Oh.
So the whole book is all these different designs and ideas for making gardening easier and more accessible, and also has a whole index of different tools, ergonomic tools, trowels that snap onto your wrist, things like that. So depending if you have arthritis, you know, so it's not all even accessibility like to be in a wheelchair, although there's many awesome designs for that, but also ideas for the different tools depending upon what your, you know, what your need is.
And so all those different tools are available for handicapped persons?
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
So, and depending upon what you're needing, you know,
sure.
If it's arthritis or maybe you don't have a hand or, you know, I mean, any number of things. So it's all about adapting.
Mm-hmm.
So there's adapting the garden with raised beds, containers, structures, vertical gardening. There's adapting you, which is selecting tools and equipment. There's even a section on plant selection. There's a whole section on design, you know, advice on getting around, you know, paths and surfaces.
Sure.
And then, of course, and I've talked about before, but he also talks about the benefits of gardening, which I would like to just read a few, you know.
Sure.
Both joints and major muscle groups of your body can be worked through their full ranges of motion during the almost limitless range of gardening activities. Strength, balance, eye-hand coordination, range of motion, and endurance can all be challenged in the garden to just about any degree that you want, or not at all, as the case may be.
Yeah.
Besides exercise for the body, the wide field of horticulture offers many challenges for the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Medical scientists and other researchers have gathered important evidence that exposure to natural environments like woodlands and parks is valuable to our well-being. Plants provide almost immediate, continuous, and long-term rewards. So hospital patients require less pain medication and fewer days in the hospital when viewing trees outside their windows as opposed to looking out on a brick wall.
Yeah.
And visits to public gardens appear to lower blood pressure. So, again, all these benefits to gardening, and I've always encouraged people, you know, no matter what your ability is, there's something available. to you, yeah. even if it's just a potted plant or a hanging basket. But he's got all kinds of ideas on how to, for watering, and just, it's a great book. I have another one, Horticulture Therapy in the Older Adult Population, and this is really appropriate for people who are, this is more of a scientific research book for people who are in the field of healthcare.
Sure.
And give them, you know, there's the research, actual scientific papers, you know, horticultural therapy care plan, three typical problems found in many long-term care facilities. So they kind of list some problems and some solutions. And then the other one I have is called Horticulture as Therapy, Principles and Practice. And this is another one that's going to be a little bit more for, you know, the caregiver, but it's a great book. And because this isn't too, you know, it's not just physical ability. You know, there's been a lot of work with Alzheimer's patients.
Sure.
As well. And, I mean, plants are really powerful for bringing back memory for people. And I think part of it's fragrance, you know,
sure.
that you, the
sure.
smells, and then just people have these memories of, you know, plants from the farm, hollyhocks or Annabelle hydrangea, and just different things. So this one goes into more for drug and alcohol rehabilitation, for
my word,
mental health, for Alzheimer's. I mean, there's just so many things. So it's really interesting. So,
and those books are, I presume, available at maybe any library. Ask for it if they didn't have it in that library. They can get it on the Moore system.
Yeah, that Moore system is great.
Yeah.
That Moore system is great. Yeah, and these books, I mean, I've had for a while. Well, the copyright on the one here is like 1998. I would think they'd still be. There's probably more books out there now even, too.
Sure.
So. But horticultural therapy, people can look that up. But just for at the homeowner, that Enabling Garden, I just love. That is just a great one. So.
Well, yeah, because it's enabled you into all kinds of gardening.
Yeah, right.
Your place is kind of like a garden, isn't it?
Well, yeah. That's, you know.
From what I've heard you talk about your place, you go outside and you're in a garden one way or the other.
Pretty much. It's a it's a plant farm, that's for sure. It's
pretty, it's
a dream for me, so yes. And we're not managing the plant farm part of it, but blessed to be able to live here and share that space.
Sure.
With the landowners, so, and the people who are actually tending all of it.
Wow.
So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So another book I know I've mentioned on the show before is The Language of Flowers, and this
is
a novel. I should have told everybody in the beginning. They should know by now to have a pen and paper handy, right?
I think so.
Vanessa Diffenbaugh, and this is a really nice read. It's kind of a love story, but it's about also, there's a dictionary in the back of the language of flowers, where different flowers have different meanings. And some are obvious, like forget-me-not means forget-me-not, and impatience means impatience, even though they're not spelled the same. But lily means majesty. Leatrice means I'll try again. Lemon means zest. You know, it's rosemary for remembrance. So it's kind of fun. Like, you could use this to plant a themed garden, or if you're picking out plants to give to someone, it's ways to kind of send, like, secret messages. So
okay.
I just think it's really fun. But, and then in the book, the gal, like she goes and buys flowers. It's a really good, definitely a story, but it's a really good story. I like this book a lot. So, and then another really great novel that I highly recommend to people. Now this book is large and definitely available at the library, and that's The Overstory by Richard Powers. And it's really, and I'm just going to read, let's see, I'll read a little bit from the inside of the jacket and maybe just a little section of the book here. So The Overstory is a book for all readers who despair of humanity's self-imposed separation from the rest of creation and who hope for the transformative, regenerating possibility of a homecoming. If the trees of this earth could speak, what would they tell us? And this book, it goes through, there's many different characters who, throughout the book, they kind of, everybody kind of is connected, even though they're all separate. And it's all about trees and plants and how the trees communicate, and just a lot about kind of society and how we're treating them with logging, cutting down the redwoods. Is a big part of it, trying to save these trees. And then I'm just going to just read one section. It's about apples.
Okay.
So, and here's the thing about an apple seeds. They're unpredictable. Offspring might be anything. Stayed parents generate a wild child. Sweet can go sour or bitter turn buttery. The only way to preserve a variety's taste is to graft a cutting onto new rootstock. It would surprise Olivia Vandergrift to learn every apple with a name goes back to the same tree. Jonathan, Macintosh, Empire, Lucky Rolls, and Malice's Monte Carlo Game. And a named apple is a patentable apple, as Olivia's father would tell her. She once fought with him over a case of his. He was helping a transnational company prosecute a farmer who'd saved some of last year's soybean crop and replanted without paying royalties again. She was outraged. You can't own the rights to a living thing. You can. You should. Protecting intellectual property creates wealth. What about the soybean? Who's paying the soybean for its intellectual property? He looked at her with that judging frown. Whose child are you? So there's all these great characters, and it just kind of moves throughout, and then each chapter is one of the different characters, and then they come back around again. But it is really thought-provoking, and it is a novel, but, you know, very much based in fact. You know, so he definitely, you know, did a lot of research with writing the book. It's a great book. Another novel that I've read that I loved is called Cloud Cuckoo Land. And this is by Anthony Doerr, D-O-E-R-R. And this is a newer book. And this one really kind of, it travels through time. And originally it's kind of based like in Constantinople, like in the 15th century.
Oh.
But then it also includes a small town in present-day Idaho, and then an interstellar ship decades from now. So it goes through these different time periods. But again, everything's connected. There's this Cloud Cuckoo Land is a story that has getting kind of gotten preserved throughout time. But underneath, throughout the whole book, is a really strong message about, like, stewardship of the earth, you know, taking care of that book, getting that through time, stewardship of the earth, stewardship of our own selves. So it's very much got an ecological tone to it as well throughout the whole book, and just a really great story. I don't always read books twice because there's so much to read. I kind of just want to go on to the next thing. I have read the Overstory twice now. I will definitely, which I don't own the Overstory, but I get it from the library. And then Cloud Cuckoo Land, my stepmom had passed on to me, and so I have that, and I will definitely read that again because there's so much that goes on in the book that, I mean, you almost can't even catch it all. You know, like,
it takes twice or more.
Definitely going to reread. But, you know, if you want a really nice book to snuggle up with on these cold days, Cloud Cuckoo Land's a good one, because, I mean, I think this thing is, let's see here, it is probably, yeah, it's over 600 pages.
Oh, yeah.
So, another amazing book that probably most people have heard of by this point, because it's been very, very popular. If you want it, I would say get on the Moore site now, because it takes forever to get, unless one day that Luck had it on the Lucky Day shelf, though. But Braiding Sweetgrass. Which I inadvertently wound up with the audio CDs, but I'm really glad I did. So the author is Robin Wall Kimmerer, and she reads, she's the narrator. So she's reading her own book. And so it's beautiful because it's really based on her life. So she's a botanist and a professor of plant ecology, you know, and a writer. And she's also Native American. So there's a lot of, she's a scientist, but then she also's got that Native American background too. So it's really a lot about reciprocity and gratitude. And the stories are just beautiful. And sadly, I haven't gotten through all the discs yet, and so many people are waiting for it that I need to return it again. And I had the book one other time, too, and it was the same thing. I didn't get through it, and because there was a wait list, go back. I mean, so if you get it, put yourself on the wait list again.
Because right? You're going to need it. Thing.
I should probably just buy the book. But it is so enjoyable and so well written. And again, like, really makes you think. I mean, it makes you think of your purchases. It makes you think, you know, where your toilet paper is coming from. Is your toilet paper recycled? Are they milling trees for it? I mean, I try to be sustainable. I really try to avoid plastics and things like that. And I've started making some purchases, bar shampoo, you know, trying to do some different things. And now I did just make some other choices after listening to her with my paper products, because where we spend our money makes a difference, sends a message, you know, and it's everybody, if we can all do whatever you can do, you know?
I get it.
So it's, anyway, amazing, amazing book, which is why it's so hard to get, because everybody wants it.
Sure.
So. Another book kind of along the lines of that, but different, set up much differently. This book's a little more practical. Is a book called Plants Have So Much to Give Us, All We Have to Do Is Ask. And this is Anishinaabe Botanical Teachings by Mary, and I might screw up her name, but Mary Sissip, S-I-I-S-I-P, and then the last name is G-E-N-I-U-S-Z. And this is another one. It's with a lot of, you know, Anishinaabe teachings, whereas Braiding Sweetgrass, she goes through a lot of different Native cultures, beliefs and stories, but this is specifically Anishinaabe. But what I really like about this, it's a little more, like I said, a little more practical. So she goes through, like, the dogwood family, and then there's some illustrations and talks about the different types. There's a whole section on medicinal plants. There is a recipes in the back. You know, and so many things that, I mean, it's amazing, like, you can't believe how many things you can do with a cattail. You know, from a cattail can fully support you from making your house, making your bed, making your pillow, wrapping your baby, feeding you. You know, like, it's so amazing. And there's a big section on cattails and Braiding Sweetgrass as well. But this gal, so if you read Braiding Sweetgrass, you're like, wow, what could I do with all these cattails? This Plants Have So Much to Give Us book has all the recipes in there. And, and flowers, violet sundae, violet skin preparation, candied violets, and then a whole section, what can you do with mints, mint soap, mint salad dressing, and that's the thing, too, like I just talked about eliminating plastic. We can be making our own soaps instead of buying all this packaged stuff. So, and then she's got an Anishinaabe dictionary in the back, too.
Ah, yes.
Which one of my favorite books, by the way, is also, I should mention, the dictionary. For a while,
yes.
I was having one next to me all the time because some authors use, I mean, I feel like I have a pretty decent vocabulary, but sometimes you need to look something up. I mean, there's always context clues, but there's times when it's nice to
actually know.
Just see.
Yeah.
So why we're talking to medicinal herbs, I know we only have a minute left here.
That's it.
My favorite herb book and herbalist is Rosemary Gladstar. She's got several books. The one I have just happens to be specific for women, herbal healing for women, Rosemary Gladstar, but really great reference book and for herbs, and again with a lot of recipes and, you know, more of a practical book. And then, of course, my Latin for Gardeners, which I've read to, you know, multiple times.
And the whole thing about all this is all the books you've talked about here, you can find at your local library one way or another.
I hope so. I don't totally know. I know the plants have so much to give us. This is actually a library book that Ryan had checked out, and
all
he
right.
was kind enough to. I've been hoarding it now since we missed the show last month. I had all these books in a pile, Bob. I'll be ready to get them back on my
yeah.
bookshelf. I left them out. And, you know, I'm looking. I didn't even get through all my books. We've got the Wild About Birds book.
Well, we can do it again
Flora.
Next time.
We've got my, oh, my, the Bible of Woody Plants, the Manual of Woody Landscape Plants by Michael Durr. Wait, I could do a whole nother segment on books.
And you probably will. But right now we're out of time.
I know.
And
well,
I'm pushing my network.
Thank you, and everyone, happy, you know, soon-to-be spring here.
And we can't wait.
I'll be on the first Friday in March.
That's right. Thanks, Sandra.
Thank you, Bob.
Sandra the Plant Lady, our guest this morning on the Plant Rant. It's 9:31.